Thank you, DC, for those songs about Jesus. When I was a young child, not too young, probably 9 or 10, I might have told you this story, but I'm going to tell it again. I loved fried cake chocolate donuts with chocolate frosting, and it was a restaurant that made them. And they were scrumdilicious. They were top shelf, just like Titus donuts, and those of you that know what Titus donuts are. My brother, older brother, he's 10 years older than I am, he was a cook there, and he hired me to wash dishes. And one night I was working late washing dishes, and the owner's son came in to make them chocolate donuts for the next morning. And he started making them, and I started to smelling them, and I started looking at them, and they were as fresh as I'd ever had. And he said, "You want one?" I said, "Oh, I'd like to have one." He said, "Have one." I kept looking at him. He says, "You want another one?" He said, "Yeah, I'll take another one." He says, "You can eat all you want." And you know what I did? I ate all I want. I can't even tell you how many I ate. Because I don't remember, because I'm getting old. But I couldn't get enough of them chocolate donuts. But after I'd had enough, guess what? I still like chocolate on chocolate donuts. You can ask Lucas. We're racing and we stop by a gas station in the middle of the night and I get coffee and chocolate on chocolate donut. But folks, sometimes when we get overwhelmed and we get so much stuff in our lives, we get tired of something. Don't ever get tired of Jesus. Okay? That's why we're here this morning. Because we still hunger and thirst for righteousness, for doing the right thing. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful that God has opened the kingdom of heaven for us through his dear son. And in order for us to continue hungering and thirsting after righteousness, to want to hear about Jesus, to sing about Jesus, to remember him and how great he is and what he's done for this world and for the kingdom of heaven, we need to watch him closely. That's what the Pharisees did in this parable. They watched him closely. Did you guys pick that up in a verse this morning? They watched him closely. So folks, let me ask us this morning. When's the last time you took time out to watch Jesus? So let me ask you this. When's the last time you saw Jesus? Now you guys are like, yeah. No, the preacher's not a crackpot this morning. Okay? We see Jesus in the glory that God made through him in this earth. We see Jesus when we see people being kind and loving and forgiving one another. We see Jesus when we read his holy word, when it tells us how great he is and what he does and how to treat each other. And as you can see, the highlighted passages that I have in this text this morning, they watched him closely. Now, you know what? These were people of God watching Jesus closely. These were leaders. Why did they want to watch him closely? Were they happy about Jesus being there? You know, sometimes we watch somebody we don't like at work. I'm going to catch them in something. I want to point out something that they're not doing right. Well, folks, that's how a lot of the Pharisees felt and acted about Jesus. They watched him closely. For us this morning, when we watch Jesus closely, it's like, how can I win-win in this situation? How can I be kind and loving? How can I remove myself from this situation? How can I interject myself into this situation and glorify God? But they kept silent. Jesus asked them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Folks, on the Sabbath day back then, you weren't even... I think if we look back in the Old Testament, they had the practice that women didn't even cook on Sunday. They made everything on Saturday, so they didn't even cook on Sunday. That'd be a travesty in our culture today for nobody to cook, right? And everybody stay home. We couldn't handle that. I could. Give me a bologna sandwich. Campbell's soup. It'd have to be a big old thick slice of bologna, though, not one of them little thin things. But they kept silent. And folks, let me ask us, why did the Pharisees keep silent in this passage? Because they were watching Jesus. They wanted to understand, is he going to break our rules? Is he going to do something wrong? Are we going to be able to expose him? And then he asked them, well, what should I do? Is this right or wrong? Then he didn't say nothing. They kept silent. Folks, what happens in somebody's lives when you see them wallowed in sin, or wallowed in sorrow, or elated in joy, and we just keep silent? We don't see nothing. We're just going to sit back and watch and see what happens. Just like the Pharisees. We don't want to interject ourselves. We don't share ourselves. We don't want to share the love of God he's given us with those around us in our lives. I went to work. There's a fine young gentleman that's very sharp. He happens to be a Purdue grad. Okay? Just putting that in there. But anyways, folks, he has a tendency sometimes to come to work in the morning and not want to talk to anybody, not want to be happy. He wants to spread his doom and gloom. I won't have any of it. Not on my watch. It's not going to happen. Now, do I wake up sometimes and have doom and gloom? Yes. But I look in the mirror and say, you're saved. Okay? You're 40 pounds overweight, could be 50 or 60. Okay? Yeah, your hair's turning color, but it's silver. Fast. Not gray. Not old and gray. Silver and fast. We're painting our race car silver again this year, just to let you know. Folks, it's how you look at something. It's how you look at the gift of God that's given you. Your day, each and every day, is a blessing. It's an opportunity to glorify him, to enjoy life. But they kept silent, and he took them, and he healed him, and he let him go. Same thing Jesus does with us when we come to him. We need help. I got dropsy. I can't do nothing right. I got evil thoughts in my mind. I got sin in my life. I need to be removed. Jesus says, I'm here. I'll heal you. You come to me, then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you keep going. I'm not going to put my thumb on top of your head. I'm not going to hit you in the back of the head and get you every time you do something wrong. I love you. I'm going to forgive you. 7 times 70, as he taught. And then he answered and said to them, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. You know what we want to say when Jesus says, hey, what about this? Is this okay or not? We want to watch. Is this right or is it not? And then Jesus says, asks us a question. Are you following me? Will you follow me? Come follow me. I'm going to keep silent on that one. I'm going to keep silent. And then he says, is it good or bad to follow me? And they couldn't answer him again. You know, there's lots of times in my life that I probably should have kept silent. That I shouldn't have answered something. Okay? But you know, when Jesus asks us to do something in our lives, to forgive somebody, to be kind to somebody, to let his love glow through us and guide our lives, we want to keep silent. Or we want to say, But Jesus, I don't feel good today. But Jesus, I don't have enough money. Jesus, I'm hurt. Somebody else did that to me. Jesus says, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of that. Don't give up. Follow me. Did Jesus ever give up? No. No. When he had troubles, what did he do? God, I need some help. I really don't want to do this, God, but I need your help. I want to do what's right. I want to follow you, Father in heaven. Jesus says, come follow me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And we should be saying that to each other. Follow us as we follow Jesus. You know? Not as I follow, don't follow Don. I'm just an old schmo making it through this world like everybody else. The neat thing about being an old schmo is that Jesus can turn me into the best old schmo I could ever be. Nobody else can do that. As fabulous as my wonderful wife is, she can't turn me into the best old schmo that I can be. Only Jesus can do that. His guidance, his directive, his understanding is how to treat people, how to deal with people. And it works whether I'm at home with my neighbors or my family or I'm at work or I'm driving down the interstate and I need to interact with strangers. Jesus can help me. And then continue on, if you want to follow along, our whole lesson comes from Luke 14 this morning. So he told the parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited him and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. When you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place so that when he who invites you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So we ask our lesson, let's watch him closely. Let's keep silent. And what does Jesus say? He said, invite the poor, invite the maimed, invite the lame, invite the blind, and you will be blessed. Folks, we struggle with the same thing in society today that they did 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked the face of the earth. We struggle with inviting the poor and inviting the maimed and the lame and the blind. We still desire to be in the blessed places. I don't know about you, but I've been in a suite before and it's a lot of fun. Free food, best you can see things. People don't stand up in front of you. It's not so in the kingdom of heaven, folks. Each and every one of us has a sitting place at the feet of Jesus and at his cross, and have that access to him, to be able to follow him, to watch him closely. You know, that keep silent, that's a tough thing to do, because that's what we want to say. But Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus. And we follow along in this passage, we'll see why I say, but Jesus. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he was right. It's going to be great to be in heaven. But you know what? Those of us then washed by the blood of Christ and are following him are in the kingdom already. We are saved. Are we happy that we're saved? Are we happy that we have the opportunity to watch Jesus and watch him closely? Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. I almost asked you to lead that song, All Things Are Ready, Brother DC, but I didn't. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I have must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. And I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you command, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. One accord, it says. But they all with one accord. Hey, it's okay. It's okay if you don't follow me. It's okay if you're not listening to me. It's okay if you don't listen to Jesus. It's okay if you don't follow Jesus. You know what? You got a piece of ground. That's okay. And that's okay because I got a new wife, you know, and I got to tend to her. She's pretty needy. How many of us can read? No, I won't do that. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. And there are very few of us in here farmers, but you know. Man, I got new stuff. I want to try it out. You want to talk about having an empty congregation on Christmas morning when Sunday is on Christmas. I'm excited about new stuff. Folks, let us follow in Jesus. Let's listen to him, hear him, and not make those choices, making excuses for not following Jesus. Come on, man. Because it does make him angry. And folks, don't ever think that heaven is full. There's room. And you know what? I'm thankful that there's room still because Jesus hasn't come back yet. Because there's an opportunity for people that haven't begun to follow Jesus and walked away to make that choice. Watch him closely. Keep silent. No excuses. Continue on in our passage this morning, beginning in verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Folks, this is tough. It's tough for me. I'm bearing my heart a little bit. It's good for me to do that. Now I want each and every of you to stand up and bear your hearts with each other. No, I'm not just kidding, okay? But we are to bear one another's burdens. And just the thought of that and saying, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me. Folks, Satan will tempt brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers in front of us to keep us from following Jesus. But we need to watch him closely and keep silent and not make excuses, folks. We had a family reunion. I was trying to remember. See, I'm getting old. I can't remember reunion. Family reunion, folks. It's every year. Every year, and it's on a Sunday. And when my mother was alive, our kids, we all, my brothers and our families tried to get together, and it's down in Greenwood in that area, plus or minus. Now it's in Brown County some, but we tried to get there for that family reunion on Sundays. But folks, we always went to worship service. We may have went to worship service somewhere down nearby where the family reunion was. Because I want to watch Jesus closely. He means that much to me. Jesus means more to me than my wife. Jesus means more to me than my mom and dad. Jesus means more to me than my brothers and sisters, than my boss, than my job. Because he's the one that can make me be the best schmo that I can be. And I'm not saying we're schmoes or you're schmoes, okay? I'm just being honest with you. I recognize that I need him to make good decisions, to walk the walk. I need to watch him closely. And in closing, the last verse, a couple verses of Luke 14 this morning, Jesus said, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, what's salt and hearing have to do with it? You know, come, well, let's watch Jesus. Let's see what he says. Folks, how many of us have to eat food without salt? Now, anybody? Brother Ed? A few of you? Brother Art? See? You get used to it, okay? But you probably try to find a substitute. Back in that day, they used salt a lot more, even as a preservative. But how many of us have poured salt or would pour, let's just say we're pouring sugar on a steak instead of some salt, or a baked potato. Let's use, because I don't put salt on a steak. Okay, baked potato. You put sugar on a baked potato. Well, how's that going to taste? Everybody likes, no, I like sweet potatoes. Sweet potato pie and sweet potato casserole. But none of us put sugar on white potatoes, do we? No, we want some salt. It's meant to be there. It has flavor. It's the same thing with watching Jesus and following Jesus. He's meant to be there in our lives. He is the salt of the earth. And then he says, "Follow me and you be salt of the earth." How are people going to know how to forgive and how to love and how to obey God if they don't see it in our lives? If we say we're following him and our actions aren't following him and we're not doing his will, folks, we've lost the flavor. We just get thrown out. And Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Not only to watch, but to listen. And closing our lesson this morning, look at that. There's 34 verses, folks. Not in record time, but folks, God's word is so precious, has so much for us to help us guide and direct our lives and think about the things that happen to us. We need to watch him closely. We need to keep silent, listen to Jesus. How many of us, folks, the minute somebody starts talking, we want to, let me tell you something. I struggle with that. My wife's amen to me on that, okay? Shut up! She never says that. I don't think. No. But folks,
When we watch Jesus closely, that means we need to keep silent. We don't talk to him. We don't talk back. It's not wrong to ask prayers. It's not wrong to pray. It's not wrong to be talking to Jesus. But sometimes when we're listening to him, we need to absorb what God's holy words tell us. We need to make sure that we don't say, but Jesus, but. No excuses. Opening my heart. That's tough for me to do, man. I want Jesus, I want to follow you, but could you help me a little bit? Jesus, I want to do this, but you may not have a new wife or ground or some oxes, but you do say but. Satan tempts us with that. But it's okay. But it's okay if I miss worship service. But it's okay if I don't read God's word. But if it's okay. Let me ask you this, folks. You still get a paycheck at work if you don't go all week? Well, if you got some sick time, yeah. Okay? For those of you that have that. For those of you that might work by the hour, and if you don't work, you don't get paid. There is no excuses. Folks, there's no excuses in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, come follow me. I got open arms. We need to follow him with open arms, just as he's opened his arms to us. We need to listen to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. He is the person to be watching closely. Folks, as we start a first day of the new week, follow Jesus. Watch him closely. Keep silent. Don't make excuses. And listen to Jesus. Folks, one of the best ways to listen to Jesus is to open his word. If anything in the lesson this morning has touched your heart, go to Jesus, make it right. You haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. We offer that open invitation this morning as we stand and sing the selected hymn this morning.